listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 151, My Neighbor Totoro. Catbus. Why didn't I think of that? Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, Studio Ghibli, and everything in between. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling, joined by my ever-so-lovely co-host, Chelsea Robson. Give a bow.
I bow.
And we are here and we are talking about a new movie today, actually.
Not new at all.
I mean, it's new to us.
To both of us. Yes, we've never seen this movie, even though it's like all over pop culture. It's one of those that I feel like everybody
clearly
knows.
Missed the boat on it. Right. And it was one of those ones where like I understood the cultural impact from afar because it's everywhere.
Right.
Not necessarily everywhere. If you're in Japan, it's everywhere, but it's definitely prevalent in the animation community. But I just never had the desire to see it. There was no real hook with this movie other than Totoro himself that kind of enticed me. And so for those of you who really don't know what we're talking about, we are talking about My Neighbor Totoro, which is a Studio Ghibli film from 1988. So
everyone say yay.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yeah. For those of you who are new to our show, this is a show all about the wide world of animation. We talk about films past and present, and we give our thoughts and reviews and have a grand old time doing it. Before we get started, we want to give a little shout out to some of our new patrons who've joined within the past month. Nikki T, Red, and Lauren W. She upgraded to the $5 level. Woo. So whoop whoop. One of the things that we do to support the show to keep it going is we have a Patreon, rotoscopers.com/Patreon, where you can pledge monthly amount, any amount that you wish, even as little as $1. If you are a $1 patron, we have a special weekly podcast that comes out every week where it's called This Week in Animation, and we just give you a little lowdown on the week's news. The plan is maybe at a future point in time to make that a full-blown show on its own, but in the meantime, that is just a little perk for you guys. And then also the $5 patrons have their own show, which is a bonus episode where we re-review a film that we had previously done in the Rotoscopers canon. This month, July, we did Beauty and the Beast. So if that's something you're interested in checking out, go to rotoscopers.com/Patreon. And this is actually a patron pick episode given by our patron, Daniela. So thank you, Daniela, for picking this movie. We're excited to talk about it.
At the $10 level, you are able to help us decide what movies we're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So one more reason to check out the rotoscopers.com/Patreon.
And off with the show. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Here you'll be with us.
All right, so we mentioned that this was a Studio Ghibli film. Hayao Miyazaki was the director, and it was released officially April 16th, 1988. It was actually released as a double feature with Grave of the Fireflies, which is probably good because I've never seen Grave of the Fireflies, but apparently it's pretty depressing. So that's...
We needed the yin to the yang.
Yeah, exactly. Since then, there have been two English dubs. The first one was Streamline Fox, and they did that in 1988, and then they re-released it in 1993. And then Disney came around and said, hey, we'll do our own.
Yeah, and the rights of the dub had expired, which mm-hmm. I didn't know that was a thing, but Disney snatched that up because that's something they did in the 2000s as they really picked up on Miyazaki and Studio mm-hmm. Ghibli's work. And said, hey, we're animation guys. You're animation guys. Our animation isn't doing so well right now. You have this grand old library. Let's yoink.
Yoink. And so they did that in 2005. And actually, Fathom Events this last year put out an event.
Yes, it was on the 26th of June where you could go and you could watch one of two versions. There were 2 days where you could go into theaters and watch this in theaters. One was the original Japanese dub with subtitles, and then one was the actual, the English dub.
Was it the Disney one, or was it the 1993 one?
I'm not sure which one. I imagine it'd be the Disney one. Mm-hmm. I think the Disney one is better, more well-received.
Yeah. I saw a side-by-side comparison of the two online, and the 1993 one really sounded annoying. Like, the voices, like, I don't know, they were just really whiny, and just like, I would have been really annoyed by this.
Yeah, yeah.
So as we were mentioning before, this is like has such a cultural impact. It's not only is Totoro the mascot of Studio Ghibli. So when you look at their logo, he's the main character on there. He is the minions to the Illumination.
Yes.
But he's also made cameo appearances in multiple Studio Ghibli films, as well as outside of Studio Ghibli with, for example, South Park did an episode with the character in it, SpongeBob SquarePants, Toy Story 3, The Powerpuff Girls, The Simpsons even brought in the cat bus. And Japan itself has several bus stops with references to Totoro.
Of course.
So there's just so much impact. And as I was going through after, I didn't even look into the significance of this film until after I had seen it. And so after I was like, what the?
Where have you been, Chelsea?
Right, I know.
Under a rock. So we are getting a lot of this information from our good old friend Wikipedia. And as far as box office results, it's not necessarily listed. So, that's a big question mark. But we'll move on.
There we go. Critical reception. Most people really like this film, apparently. So Rotten Tomatoes reported a 93% of critics gave it a positive review with the average of 8.3 out of 10. And then even like Roger Ebert from the Chicago Sun-Times said that My Neighbor Totoro was one of his, quote, great movies, calling it one of the loving handcrafted works of Hayao Miyazaki.
Yes. So, yeah, this really is one of the big ones in the 80s that shot Miyazaki up to, you know, the superstar status that he is today.
Was it?
Yeah, it was one of the ones that was so well received that he kind of became more of a household name.
Interesting.
And helped his career and launch, you know, all the other movies that they had done. So what are your first thoughts about this film? Because this is actually an interesting one where it is so well known, but it's one that Chelsea and I, as self-proclaimed animation addicts, was just basically a blind spot in our vision. I'm really glad we got to see it and we'll be able to talk about it. But I think any other podcast and animation-related podcast, most like this would not be the norm. Most people will have seen this movie. So it's very strange that just missed our radar. And I've seen nearly all of Studio Ghibli's films, especially since a lot of them were sent to me and I reviewed them and did DVD, Blu-ray reviews of them at the time. But not this one.
Yeah.
This one was one of the original ones that Disney put into Blu-ray. And so that was slightly before when we started doing Blu-ray reviews.
Yeah, my first thoughts about this, originally going into it, I was...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I was excited to see it because I had heard good things about it. I mean, I hadn't known to what extent the cultural significance was, but I had heard good things, and it looked like a very... like lovable character, and like he was in Toy Story 3, so I was like, hey, it's got to be good, right? So I mean, there's a lot of good things with the English dub of 2005 from Disney. They had Dakota Fanning and Elle Fanning
play the sisters.
So Sasuke and Mei, and then Lea Salonga was the mom, even though she didn't sing.
Why do we have Lea Salonga here? She's not singing.
I don't know. I don't know. And we'll get into more of the music stuff on that because that was actually one of my points of like, what? And then Frank Welker, who played like, he plays all of the animals in Disney films. He played Abu. He played the tiger.
He's carved quite a little niche for himself.
Yeah, he has. So he was Totoro. And then Pat Carroll, who obviously was the evil Ursula under the sea, the sea witch. So there's a lot of like, she was the granny. There's just a lot of like standard Disney people playing this. So yeah. I was like, that's cool. That's cool.
My first thought when I was watching this film is it's very much kind of an exploration of childhood. There's a lot of childhood whimsy and just free play, especially in the very first half of the film. It doesn't have necessarily a hard antagonist or something that's really driving the plot. We just get to see the girls. I thought it was very interesting because, like a lot of Studio Ghibli films, it just takes its time and it has its own story that it needs to tell. There's no, we need to rush and get this done by act one and act two. This is the big thing that we're going to be talking about. Right. I mean, it's the girls move to a new place because their mother is sick and they need a place that's a little closer to their mom, wherever she is, you know, and this is something that's in other Studio Ghibli films is I think in The Wind Rises, where the girlfriend is sick and very much common in these post-war films in Japan specifically is that they send the people away, and it's never clear what the mom has, but it's not necessarily so bad that she's not gonna make it. She just needs time to recover and it's not quite there yet. So the girls are moving a bit closer to the mom, not like next door.
It's like a 5 mile.
It's definitely nearby, which probably closer where they were, but and they're also in a rural area, which again is, I think, something that we see a lot in Miyazaki films. There's really this fondness for post-war one, anything post-war, and because it's not quite this modern, super modern Japan, but it still has elements of the old Japan.
Right.
But at the same time, it feels very classic. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel like this feels like a dated time period at all. You know, it's just kind of timeless in a way.
I mean, the fact that they have, like, the rotary, not even rotary phones, it's like dial collect. I don't know. It's like the phone system there, it shows that's really the only thing that totally dates it.
Yeah, that was the one thing I'm like, oh, one of those.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, it's generally considered, like, 1950s, like, basic timeline. They didn't give it an actual year. What I found was interesting, and I think it might be a reason why a lot of these films have that element of send the parent away. Like, one, it doesn't, it's better than actually them growing up as a single without parents, you know, Aladdin style. So I think that's good. But also, Hayao Miyazaki said that this is actually semi-autobiographical because he and his brothers, when they were children, his mom was suffering from spinal tuberculosis. And she had that for about 9 years and spent much of that time hospitalized. But then, so in this film, he changed it. It was going to be a single girl, but then he decided to separate it and make it two girls. But he said that, he was once said that it would have been too painful if it would have been the two protagonists would have been two boys instead of two girls, because it would have been hit home a lot more. So I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I liked that it was two girls, and I kind of going back, I just loved that. Like, the very first scene, the girls, we just see them exploring the new house. They're running around. They have all this energy. They're just kind of running, doing circles in the field and just exploring.
And the dad's just like, hey, guys.
Well, he's just like, yes, just stay out of the way while I unpack.
Right.
Please just go over there. And I just loved it. It was just something that it was very somewhat nostalgic to me. Just kids having fun being kids.
Yeah.
You know, and
I mean, there's no video games, no anything. It's just like, go outside and enjoy life. Make up stuff.
Yeah. And then, you know, very quickly we have somewhat of our, you know, supernatural element, which are these dust sprites. What are they called?
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Well, they at first they were called. So what was interesting, I was watching it with the closed captioning on, and at first they were called Soot Gremlins.
Yes.
But in the closed captioning, they were called Dust Bunnies.
Oh.
So I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think the Soot Gremlins is what they sort of refer to them in the actual dub.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but Dust Bunnies too.
Before we go too much further, I really want to show you this commercial.
Okay.
It is, this trailer is from 1988. It's the original. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I can't wait. Trailer reaction time.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Totoro,
Totoro. Jump aboard. It's the good time fly high fantasy you've been looking for. It's a journey that will take you to heights you've always dreamed about. Hang on tight to my neighbor, Totoro. They're furry. They're cuddly. They're huge.
And they're loud.
Huge.
And most of all,
and they're loud.
They're lovable.
And there was a little one. And one this big. And a great big one.
But to grown-ups,
you don't believe me.
They're invisible.
You don't believe me.
Enter a beautiful new world of enchantment. Where
like
your
this guy's
house
voice
turns out to be a magical playground.
Their house turns into a magical playground.
I don't know about that.
Totoro. It's the fantasy that's bigger than your imagination. You'll never forget your ride on the 12-legged cat bus.
Was it an umbrella?
I will not.
It's the roller coaster thrill of a lifetime. You'll laugh with Totoro.
You'll
cry with Totoro. Best of all, you'll fly with Totoro. Since the time you were small, you've dreamed of adventures this tall.
I have so many rhymes.
Now, the new classic children's storybook flies to life on the screen. From world-renowned master animation director Hayao Miyazaki. An animated adventure for children of all ages. My neighbor, Totoro. A Kokomo Shoten production from 50th Street Chroma Films.
This is completely a different vibe.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. I mean, this is completely false advertising and misleading because, not false advertising, those scenes do occur in the film. But those basically are all of the Totoro scenes.
Right.
For the most part, he's not there a lot. He's in bits and pieces. And then we go back to the girls. It's peace. It's calm. It's everyday. It's real life. And then we just have like little tastes of Totoro.
Right.
Not this action-packed, we're going to go on a magic carpet ride.
This is the guy. He's going to take us everywhere. High-flying fantasy you've been looking for.
I would not call this a high-flying fantasy, personally.
No, I wouldn't either. And I've in my looks for a different trailer, there were a lot better trailers out there, but this one was just so funny.
We really gotta get what? Those American audiences.
Yeah, apparently, like the 88, it was that like you can't do anything subtle, must be over the top, kid fun. Yay!
Yeah. Hey, I mean, being a kid is all about.
It's true. Well, okay. First, I want to talk about the theme song when it starts out in the English 2005. We're going to be referencing that dub. The theme song of "Hey, Let's Go." The girl's voice is like, she has a great voice, and it's super strong. But I don't think it fits this movie. I felt like it was too rooted in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the whole time I was like, you know what? I feel like if they would have put something like maybe like Owl City, like if they would have done something with them in there, because I mean, come on, they have all these little like boop, 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 you know, things throughout the whole film. So I was like, Owl City would have been great with that. Like it just would have added a little bit of a weirdness. And I think it would have actually changed my perspective on the whole film.
Oh, see, I was not that invested into the opening song. It was kooky and weird, and I was like, great, That's what I expect, and I moved on, to be honest.
But that was just what I felt. I was like, okay, because the first thing that it gives you is this voice that's so rooted in reality, and then it just goes into this other, like, high-flying fantasy, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not high-flying, but we, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I just felt like it should have been a little bit more cutesy or stylized, and that would have kind of kept with the mood of the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I had to say about the opening song.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Heard it here first, guys.
So when they first move in, as Morgan was saying, it's just so young and free,
mm-hmm.
and just this feeling of adventure, like, ooh, it's a new place, it's a new house, I get my room.
Yeah,
look at these crazy creatures, Dad. Like, okay, the dust bunnies were really gross. Like,
gross?
I call them gross. I was like, all I could see was just like, ew, so many crawly things. It's like girls' camp all over again.
I liked that we were introduced to them up front, and this is kind of where I'm starting to, you know, because they say, oh, you can see them. So I'm like, oh, is this something in their mind? Is this because the girls are so fun and just love to explore, and there's just this childhood imagination which we get to see. So I'm thinking, oh, is this just them we're seeing from their eyes, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the whimsy? Because then when we go see Totoro, I'm like, oh, is this something they're making up? Because then there's another scene later where, you know, she meets Totoro, and then the sister finds her, and she's just laying on the ground.
Right.
So I'm like, was she imagining this the right. whole time? And she was actually just laying on the ground. And the same thing with the plant, the big tree, and the the plants that were growing. You know, like, oh, they're having this great time with Totoro, making things grow. And then the dad looks outside, and there's nothing.
Right.
So I'm thinking, like, what's happening here? You know, mm-hmm. and this, so that's one of the things that was kind of confused. Like, is this real? Is this a fantasy? Is this real and something that only they can see because they're young? And I never felt that was quite explained.
Yeah.
And so I was left with so many questions at the end, so which many we will talk
questions.
About.
But so many questions.
The dust bunnies, or these dust gremlins, that's one thing that starts it off. And it's just funny because they're just there. It's like, oh, they like to hang out in places where they've been uninhabited. And if they like you, they'll leave. And so they end up floating out in the middle of the night one night and say, see you later. We're going to go find a new place to inhabit. And okay, off we go.
All right, there you go.
That was our first little taste of the, quote, supernatural, unquote.
Right. Well, and at first, the word Totoro is actually, if you... I don't speak Japanese, so I'm not going to...
I don't speak Japanese!
So I'm not going to pretend that I know how to say this right, but... It's supposed to be actually, they had been reading the story of the three billy goats Gruff. Like, if you see in the opening credits, they have like them reading that. And so the older sister is like, oh, I think it's Totoro or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a different pronunciation. So the little girl pronounced trolls wrong. So uh-huh. the word for trolls in Japanese, she pronounced it wrong and called it Totoro.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So that's where that kind of came in. I was like, oh, that's interesting, because I was like, where did this word come from? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get it.
I think I was reading that was one thing they were concerned with the English audiences, that they weren't, it wasn't clear, because when you're translating,
oh, yeah.
especially when it's a joke that's a very specific word to a language, and then right. it's a play off that mispronunciation, it's really hard to make that come across unless you just happen to have a very similar two words,
right,
which they don't does not quite
which
work.
Does not happen
here. No, so you just kind of say okay, what's his name?
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, we'll go with that. So when the dad goes and he's like explaining He's explaining these spirit legends, like the spirit forest creatures. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, okay, are those legends real or is he just being a good dad?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
I was like, does he actually believe what he's saying or is he just going with it? Like, I don't know. That was what was strange to me. But yeah, so many questions.
So let's just jump right into the part where we meet Totoro. So she, May, goes off and, you know, starts exploring in this giant shrub tree thicket thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wouldn't mind having tunnel-like of that.
Yes. And if you go and are accepted by the proper, you know, authorities, you meet Totoro.
Yes.
Which she did, which was pretty exciting. And Totoro, as someone who, okay, I've heard Totoro, he's been in all these films and people reference him, different other cartoons and whatnot. I'm like, all right, this is the guy. I can't wait. And he's kind of weird. Just his growling and his yelling, and he doesn't have conversations with them, which, you know, that's fine. He's definitely a monster in a way where he just communicates, but he's magical. Mm-hmm. And it's just new. It's a new way to take on this. And I don't know how I feel about him.
I mean, I get it as far as what they were going for. Is like, for a child, nothing really has to make sense. So I'm thinking, as I'm watching this, after I watched this, I was like, would I have liked this as a child? And I'm thinking, probably.
Yeah.
I probably would have liked it because it's weird and I'm kind of weird like that. Or at least I was. I feel like I've lost a little bit of that, which is a little bit sad too. Oh well, moving on. But it's like these little things, like, oh, going into the thicket, oh, my tree tunnels and leading to magical places and magical friends. And so I can get that. And then as far as like the sisters, you know, playing around together, they're like, oh yeah, we can, sure, like, yeah, I see them too, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can kind of see that. But then there's the whole, like, later on when May gets lost and they have to get the cat bus to find her, and like, that's just where things got weird for me.
Yeah, let's talk about the cat bus, because up until this point, you know, animation and films and storytelling, they suspend your belief,
right?
And so, okay, we have these little dust bunnies and those are okay, I can accept those. And then, oh, we have this creature named Totoro. And he's not necessarily this over-the-top creature that talks to you and has magical powers, per se, that are like wave my magic wand sort of magical powers. But, and he's still animalistic in his behavior, and that's cool, and I like that. And so they've suspended my belief to an extent. Mm-hmm. Where we have these supernatural elements, but they're pretty tame.
Yeah.
And then we have the cat bus. And I'm like, what is happening? And it's just so on a different level.
Yeah.
That they're having us accept, because again, this movie's grounded in reality as far as like the girls, and it's like a real life real life Japan.
Right.
Clearly set in, you know, post-war. And then we have this bus that's a cat that's hollowed out, that has 12 legs. Very much Cheshire Cat looking, mm-hmm. you know, with the big grin, big eyes. And I'm thinking, Alice in Wonder, what is happening?
Yeah.
And I definitely tilted my head a bit and went, huh? And I was like, okay, this is where it's going. And it really didn't. I mean, the max was that whenever the cat bus came to play, it went crazy.
Yeah.
There's times where, as you see in that trailer, you know, Totoro takes them on a magic carpet ride of sorts, you know, where they're flying around and right. enjoying things. And even that I could take. But then just the cat bus was just so wacky and different and bizarre.
One thing that I heard and read in the post watching this film about the cat bus is that in Japanese culture, I guess, they feel like once a cat reaches a certain age, it can become anything it wants. Like, which was an interesting way. Oh, like, okay. Because there's in the neck, they actually have a short film that followed after this, which is the closest thing you're going to get to a sequel, which was May and the Kitten Bus,
yes,
where they meet other cat types of transportation as well, like boats and trains.
Oh,
and
no.
Like, it's just weird stuff. And so it's like, okay, I mean, whatever, go with it. But it's like, yeah, that was the only part that for me, I felt like everything else is totally, I can wash off as being in this child's imagination. But that's the only thing, because it actually makes change and it like helps them do stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Certain things.
I'm they like, appear where the mom is.
Right. And then, okay, at the very end, they're like, oh, I feel like I just saw May and Sasuke in that tree outside smiling at us. I'm like, well, maybe you did. I saw this. I'm like, okay, if I were a parent, in no way would I be like, oh, maybe you did.
What the heck are they like, doing here?
What in the world? We are 5 miles from home. You realize how dangerous this is. Like, this is how I would be feeling right then. And yet, no, they're just, oh.
Yeah, see, that's the, agreed. If this were a separate world where they went into, it'd be much more believable.
Yeah.
And whatever, I believe it. It's fine. But if they actually went to a wonderland, right? And where they're, the whole world was like this. There was cat buses maybe everywhere.
Maybe if it was just like a magic mirror type thing.
Yeah. But the fact that, like we said, we're in reality and this happens and it affects reality, but it's only this one that's so over the top. It kind of reminds me of Harry Potter, where there is this magical world that coexists.
I was thinking amongst the night bus the entire time.
Yeah, the real the real world. It's only for those with keen eyes to see. So I don't know why I can accept Harry Potter and this one I'm like, what? But Harry Potter, I mean, it's magic. Like,
yeah,
that's the whole point. Is magic can really do anything.
Right.
So I guess I need to accept that Totoro is a wizard. You're a wizard, Totoro.
You're a wizard. Oh my gosh. And then, well, before that point, the reason why May gets lost is because the mom can't come home for the weekend. And so, like, May is getting all sad because the mom was going to sleep in her bed. And so she was, I mean, she's only 4 or so. And so it's like, yeah, you can see it's very traumatic that, like, what happens to mom. And then the older sister, she's going through some tough times too. And then, but she just comes out and she's just like, what? You want her to die, May? And I'm like, whoa, that escalated.
Whoa,
quickly.
You went there.
Like, geez, girl. I was a fan of the different characters that they brought into this. I felt like for example, Granny. Like, that is a really nice lady. No connection whatsoever, except for the fact that she is the homeowner. So she's the person that they...
She's a landlord.
She's a landlord. But she's like, just call me Granny. And she's like helping them wherever she can.
Yeah.
And I'm like, those are really nice people. And then the random kid who, you know, has a crush on Sasuke or something...
But it still never goes anywhere.
Yeah, he's just maybe very shy. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his deal is. I mean, he's nice. He gave him the umbrella.
That was very nice.
It was.
Ran away.
Like,
yeah, but that's one thing with this movie is we do have those slow moments, you know, like we're saying with this umbrella scene where they're walking home and it's raining and, you know, then we see the boy. He gives him the umbrella because the girls are waiting under that little thing. And again, it's like, okay, what does this have to do with the plot? But that's the point, is that, hey, we just want to tell this story that, hey, they got stuck in the rain one time. It doesn't tie to Totoro. It's not tie. It doesn't really tie to anything else.
Well, other it's than raining. And then later on, Totoro comes out with his little, like...
Yeah.
Is the umbrella scene with him?
But, yeah, it does establish that. But again, it just takes its time doing so.
Yeah.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
That was one thing that as I was going through, was the whole time I'm thinking there's got to be some type of lesson to be learned, mm-hmm. or some type of just major theme? Because, I mean, I'm thinking in Spirited Away, that one just has so many themes and so many different things that, to think on and to let, you know, lead to real
life. Princess Mononoke.
Yeah. But, like, this one, I felt like I'm just waiting. Where is the theme? Where is the lesson to be learned? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I ever got one.
Yeah, and same thing with, like, the plot driver. It's just slowly ambling along. The girls are going to a new place. They're exploring. They meet their new friends. Hooray. This is cool. We're stuck in the rain. It just meanders, and there's no driving plot until maybe the last 15 minutes when May gets lost and everyone's frantically searching for her. And when they find the shoe in the little rice paddy, I guess, or the little lake, I think this is where it ends. This is actually a tragedy. She's going to die.
That would be really sad.
I feel like that would have been more impactful, to be honest. But that's where I thought it was going. You know, like, wow, this is really going to end on a low note.
Be there?
I don't know, but
it would definitely be impactful.
It did not go that way. That was a false.
If that would have been right after Grave of the Fireflies, it's like a 1-2 punch.
Yes.
It's like kunk, kunk, kunk. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I'm dead. Why did I just spend my last 3 hours watching these?
Hey, you are.
I'm significantly depressed now.
Very much a masochist.
And yeah, like at that point, I'm thinking, well, maybe the lesson was don't yell at your sister. Like, I don't know. And then the other thing that bothered me was, like, they kept looking everywhere else except for the places of hiding that she's been going to with Totoro, you know?
Yes.
And I'm thinking, those would have been my first places to look. That's where we've been hanging out the last couple of days. Why wouldn't she be there? Yeah. And then the cat bus shows up, and I'm thinking, why didn't I think of that? You know, that'll just save everything. I don't know. It was just weird.
Is there anything else?
Well, the acorn part. Where he, like, gives her all the acorns and then they plant them. That was an interesting scene because it was, like, they're, like, you know, helping them grow.
Yeah.
And as they're doing it, I'm thinking, those acorn seeds are much too close together. Like, they're just creating this, like...
Well, that's the whole point, is it creates this super tree.
I know. And then I'm thinking, Dad is going to be freaked the next morning when he walks out. What the? Because this whole time he's been thinking that this is just part of their imagination. No, now there's a giant tree in front of us, which I think would have been better.
Yeah.
That would have been made things so much cooler. Like, this is real, Dad. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, not real, but real.
Not real, but real. Yeah, exactly.
I wish it would have been a little bit more far-fetched. Yeah. I think that would have made it even, like I said before with the opening song, it was too grounded in reality to really get a hold of it. If they just went above, made it just a little bit weirder, I would have accepted it as just being weird. As it was, it is weird. But weird in a different way.
Yeah, just very kind of subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Not subtle, cat bus. But, yes.
Okay, with the dad, you know, he obviously assumed they're just playing around. But at the same time, once again, if my kids both started saying that they saw a big monster and now have an actual package of acorns that was given to them by this monster...
Be like, where... What? Is the creeper man that I need to protect you from.
Yeah. It was just, there's too many things that are real and not real. And I'm just like, what the heck are we going to do about this?
Yeah. You know, this movie, like most Studio Ghibli films, it takes its time. Yeah, there's no rush to tell the story, kind of meanders at its own pace. And reading it, initially, this was more or less going to be a 60-minute film. But they expanded it. So they added a few more storylines of them actually arriving at the house, moving, and explaining that storyline a little more. And then the dad's job, which, like, the dad's job was a throwaway. It had nothing to do. Like, it didn't care that he was a college professor. And now, kind of looking back, I can see how they fleshed this out to be a little longer than maybe the story warranted because it, not that it dragged. It was just, really, I looked at the timestamp. It was 50 minutes in, and yeah. we were just still in preamble mode, telling this, we go over here.
That's the point where I was like, where's the lesson? What am I supposed to be
doing? Totoro really doesn't come
this?
Into play until probably halfway mark-ish, 40, 45 minutes in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, it took a long time to get to our main character.
And that's probably it. They were just like, gotta make this a full-fledged thing.
So, okay, before we wrap this up and give our thoughts, immediately upon watching the film, I thought, wow, I have a lot more questions about that. So many questions. So let's go through those questions.
Okay, what are your questions?
My questions are Totoro. I'm still not quite sure what is he.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Another, what is the extent of his magical abilities?
Right.
I mean, tell me more about this. How did he get there? I need more backstory on him.
I mean, he's like a Pokemon type? Like, I don't know.
He's kind of like an Aragog, you know, where like there's the big Aragog, you know, so there's the big spider and there's all the children. They progressively get smaller and smaller and smaller. And he's like the big and the oldest one.
Right, right.
And there's like little smaller versions of him, but only a few. You really don't see if...
There's three.
Yeah, there's three. So there's that. And okay, Catbus, tell me more about him, her. Where, when, and why.
Everything. They give you no information about the Catbus.
Again, suspend belief and just accept it.
Okay, yeah. My question I had, too, was like, to see Totoro, do you just have to be very young? Because that's what the song says. Mm-hmm. Only seen by the very young. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it like the Polar Express where you just have to believe and then you can hear the bell ring? Like, I don't know. But the thing is...
I believe in fairies.
Right.
I believe in fairies.
Like, is this what this... Okay, it's just belief. Okay, well, what if I... Now, I'm going to say, well, I believe. I believe in Totoro. Where is Totoro?
I believe. Is there a song? I'm sure there's plenty of songs.
Like, I believe in... I'm going to say this. I believe in Totoro. Where is he? Why doesn't he show up at my garden? Why don't I grow a giant, you know, acorn forest and turns into the magical
native
giant
only
tree?
To Japan.
I need to go to Japan in order to find Totoro then.
I'm sure you'll find lots of Totoro around.
It's true. That was one of my questions. Mom, I had a couple questions on her.
Like, all I needed was a diagnosis. Just give me what she has. I didn't appreciate the mystery illness.
Yeah.
Just tell me, is it polio? Is it tuberculosis? Is it cancer?
In the book. Okay, so there was the movie, then there was the book, and then they have...
Or was it a book and then a movie?
I don't know.
Because in that trailer, it said based on the book.
Oh, really? Okay, so it's based on the book, but I do know that the book does say that the mom does spinal tuberculosis like Hayao Miyazaki's dad.
See, that's all I need to know. Just
I know.
I don't know why that's so important to me, but
I just want to know
it
why
it would have helped me know, okay, on the spectrum of she's going to make it or she's not. Okay.
Do you want my mom to die, May? Like, I don't know. Will she die? I don't know.
Exactly, right? Like, if we would have known what she had, I think we, as the viewer, would have been able to say, okay, we understand that she's being very over the top.
Yeah, over dramatic. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But now it was like, well, that was messed up. Like, I don't know. Is she? Is she?
Exactly. And then the dad just seemed almost too jolly.
Like, hey, kids! Let me put on my Barty suit.
He was. I don't know. He just seemed like...
He's putting off the fact that his mom is suffering and just going to suppress, conceal, don't feel, and be really happy.
I gotta
stay positive for the girls.
Yeah, but he seemed like it was just like, meh, life is fine. She'll be back later. She's just on a work trip type thing. Like, that's kind of how he acted. Mm-hmm. But then the mom was just like, okay, if you're going to have Leah Salonga in there, why didn't she do the opening credit song?
True.
Instead, they had a country singer girl, which, once again, I liked her voice as a voice, but I did not feel that it fit for this film. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, Leah Salonga, her voice is a lot more, not so much cutesy, but it's a lot more princessy, you know? It's like she's got more of the whimsical feel to her voice. So I'm just like, why didn't they use her? I don't know. Maybe they would have just had to pay her
that
a lot
was,
more.
Hey, at that point, she was the Lea Salonga.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she'd kind of been the Lea Salonga since the 90s, but yeah. Hey, it's the 2000s now when they're doing that dub. I mean,
it's true.
She asks a pretty penny.
Yeah. Well, she did say that this was the first time she ever did a speaking role instead of just a singing role.
Thank you for realizing that I actually have a voice that's not just my voice.
Right. Just not just for singing.
Well, so let's wrap it up and give our thoughts. Again, still have quite a few questions, but those were kind of the main ones.
Okay.
All dealing around Totoro and what's happening right. there. So is this real? Is this not real? Cat bus. Cat bus. Cat
what
bus.
What is up with the cat bus? Okay. So for rating it, I ended up like, once again, I didn't do any type of research prior to going into it. I did it all after I saw the movie. And after, I was left the same way Morgan was, with more questions than answers. And I just felt like my ending thing was, that was weird. And then there was a Simpsons quote that sums up exactly how I feel about the movie. Bart asked Dad, "Dad, what's the point of this story?" Dad says, "I like stories."
Yes.
That is exactly how I felt about this film. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
I like stories.
I like stories. What? Okay. As far as character appeal, as I said before, if I would have watched this as a kid, I probably would have really liked it just based on the character appeal. I've always liked Miyazaki's character design. They have big eyes and open personalities, and they just feel nice and welcoming. Mm-hmm. So I think for that reason, I would have liked it. I felt like the plot, the scene that they built, could have done so much more with it. Like, they built it up well enough that I feel like they really could have done some great things, but it was just so... they didn't commit to either side, mm-hmm. reality or, you know, fantasy. Music, I give it 3.5 out of 5. I really like the instrumentals. I still feel like Owl City would have made it cooler. All in all, I'd say the replay value is like a 1 out of 5. I would never turn the movie off if we were going. Like, be like, ugh, turn it off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I would also never want to really show this to anybody. Be like, hey, watch this, the cat bus. Like, What did I just watch? Like, what? So all in all things considered, I give it 2.5 stars out of 5.
Okay. So the parts of the film that I liked the childhood whimsy and exploration and just the look into the imagination of a child.
Yeah.
And I liked that we got to see that and explored it at its own pace. And that was really, really neat to me. And that's something that Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli does very well, is they just tell the story at their own pace. And it's not this rush, 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 fast talking, smooth talking American, like, we got to get everything in.
Right.
Right. They let
high flying adventure.
Yes. They let the visuals tell the story, and they let the story tell the story rather than, okay, how much dialogue can we get? Because the audience is so dumb. They need us talking to them all the time. So I really liked that. And I did... you know, I finally got to experience Totoro for the first time ever. And he wasn't, I guess he'd been so hyped up in this point
yeah.
that I kind of expected a little more from him. But then again, after it's all said and done, I've accepted him. And I understand who he is now and why he's so popular. He just wasn't, I guess, what I thought he would be.
Right.
That's fine. And then, I mean, really, as far as like a narrative and a plot, this film didn't necessarily have one.
No.
It did, right? The girls move.
Right.
They meet their imaginary friends. One of them gets lost. Imaginary friend saves them. But it was very, very mild
mm-hmm.
in execution and just what was at stake, which is kind of one thing we mentioned last episode.
Yeah.
The stakes were pretty low. And
they're like non-existent.
Yeah. I mean, other than the time when she gets lost and it's like, that's the only time your heart gets thumping is like, where is
she?
Did she
actually drown?
Did she die? Yeah. What's happening here? But that resolves very quickly. And then
here's my question. If that shoe did not belong to May, who did it belong to? Tragedy already.
Spooky roller disco? Or how about the lake where the sexy teens were killed 30 years ago tonight?
Oh, I heard Simpsons.
Simpsons quotes. Good times. So anyways, all those things, I feel bad about my review and how I feel about this because I feel as though I should like this more.
And that's how I felt too.
And I'm sitting here and I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the Rotten Tomatoes, I'm looking at all the critical appeal, and I'm like, am I just not sophisticated enough for this movie? What's wrong with me? And you should never feel that. Your opinion is your opinion. And I just didn't love this movie.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give it 3 stars. I thought it was good. It was great, but really don't need to see it again. It did not have anything driving. So for those reasons, like I said, giving it 3 stars, this movie wasn't for me, and this is one of the ones that's one of the greats in the canon. But to me, the better Miyazaki films are Spirited Away and Princess Miyazaki. Princess Miyazaki. Like,
really?
Oh, that's some fan art for you.
Which, by the way, we've gotten some awesome fan art recently. Oh, my gosh.
We will be sharing on the Instagram.
Yes.
The fan art is of Powerline as a supervillain, which is what we talked about a few episodes ago. Just like he epitomizes the outfit, the hair. It's awesome. And we'll share that on our Instagram, and we'll also include it in the show notes. So go check it out. Anyway. To me, the better movies are Princess Mononoke and Spirited Away. There's just so much more in those movies that they tell and impactful, and I could watch them again and again. And this one, it just didn't do much for me. So I'm not going to dwell on that a lot, but that's just my thoughts. I feel like we're off the mainstream pulse of this, and in the similar like Nightmare Before Christmas, where when we did that movie, none of us liked it. We did not have the sentiment towards it that the majority of people do.
Right.
And I feel like this is another one of those. Doesn't happen very often, and that's okay, because we're not meant to all be these robots who think the exact same thing, right? And just so happens that both of us, or all of us, don't like a certain movie that everyone else in the world does. Doesn't happen very often, but today was one of those momentous occasions. All right, guys, that is our thoughts on this film. A big thank you again to Daniela for picking My Neighbor Totoro for this patron pick. If you would like to have one of your favorite movies reviewed on the podcast, you can go to rotoscopers.com/Patreon and check out all of the different perks we have for supporting at different levels. This is the $10 level, which is a great, great level.
Awesome.
Another way to support the show, back to school shopping is happening right now as we speak. If you have back to school shopping that you're going to be doing on Amazon.com, be sure to use our affiliate link, rotoscopers.com/Amazon. We appreciate it. We get a little kickback for everything that you do. It doesn't cost you a thing, but it helps support the show. The little money that we get from that every month really does help pay for some of the costs of keeping the website up and running. The website was down this past month a few times, and it's because we're just getting too much traffic and we're on an older server. So we needed to move up to a better server and more of a dedicated server, so that way we're not sharing space with other people.
Get off my server.
Totally. So, you know, and those are the more up you go, the more dedicated your server. Eventually we'll just have our own server. That's very pricey. We're still sharing, but we're sharing with better neighbors, which is what I've been told. We had other neighbors who were definitely data hogs, and then we had us, and we have our fair share. So anyways, little things like that, being a patron supporter, going to rotoscopers.com/Amazon and supporting us that way. Really, that's the way you support the show, and we make sure that the site is up and running for you, and that, you know, we have great quality audio and all of those things. So thank you guys so much who have used that in the past and who continue to use it. You can just save it to your bookmark bar on your browser and just click it, and then it'll take you to Amazon, and you just do your shopping from there. Anything you shop within a 24-hour window, we get credit for, which is great.
Yay!
So, again, show notes for this episode, you can go to rotoscopers.com/151. This is our Mew episode.
Ah, as opposed to the Mew 2.
Yes, yes. Mew 2 is 150. Mew is 151.
It took me a second to, like, grab that again. As we discussed before, I am not the Pokemon queen, but I am learning.
And as a Pokemon connoisseur, a Gen 1er, and a cool trainer, which Mason has dubbed me. I am, of all the Pokemon people, I am a cool trainer, which, thank you very much. And Pogo player for Pokemon Go. I'm waiting for Mew. I would love to catch a Mew, but they're not around. So anyways, enough with that. Thanks for starting, supporting the show. You go to rotoscopers.com/151 to give us your thoughts on My Neighbor Totoro. I'm very interested to definitely, like, if you're sitting here and you're like, I don't understand why you guys didn't like this movie, let us know in the comments. We will be in there. We'll be commenting. Mm-hmm. There's always great discussion that happens. All right. That's all we have. Our next episode is actually going to be a very, very interesting one. A definitely different movie for us. It is Jonah, a VeggieTales movie.
Whoa. Also a patron pick.
Also a patron pick. Now, if this one, so normally for the patrons, they can submit two movies. If their first pick had already been done, maybe in the past few weeks or months, someone had done that. Well, we go through their second pick. This is the first pick. We've never done this one. But the second pick, if for some reason we had already done Jonah, a VeggieTales movie, would have been The Pirates Who Don't Do Anything, a VeggieTales movie.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, Matthew, we will give a shout out to Matthew because he really wants us to do VeggieTales. I'm excited because VeggieTales is very important to the grand scheme of animation. It was quite a phenomenon at the time. So I'm excited to talk about that. So thank you guys for supporting the show. Until next time, we are the Rotoscopers. Perfect. All right. I just wanted to make sure that it really was Grave of the Fireflies. That was, you're right.
Of course I was right. I did research.
I looked it up too.
There was at one point, did you see where it had like the wooden flat shoes with like the two bars on it? I'm like, is that really still a thing? Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that was a thing back then, but it's like, I'm wondering today. Because we have so many different, like, do we have to do wood?
Whoa. Chelsea is judging the Japanese culture and questioning.
Because I'm like, that's so uncomfortable.
I'm not going there.
Okay, we'll move on. It's my dog.
He was like climbing up there too. I'm like, oh, you.
She's all over the place. She let me in.